If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of Galatians chapter number 5, the book of Galatians chapter number 5, we concluded our study last week of the book of Acts, and to tell you the truth, I learned a significant amount last week, or in this last year, studying the book of Acts, but the Lord started working in my life this week, and I suppose it probably started sometime Sunday, may have been Sunday evening, as the Lord was having me, I guess, preach on hell, and got thinking about how much He loves us, and nobody has to go to hell. He's already died, and nobody would have to go to hell. I'm not going to preach on hell again. Although it is mentioned 162 times in the Bible, over 70 by Jesus that He references towards hell, okay? But I'm not planning on preaching on that, but I want you to know that He loves all of us so that nobody has to go to hell. And yet people go every day. It just amazes me. If you would stand with me tonight, I want to read in chapter 5. I want to begin in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's always a battle going on inside of us, right? Always. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm glad that probably a lot of us have been guilty of a lot of that stuff. But if we put that under the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus, our sins have been forgiven, and those things are not brought up against us anymore. Now, there are some folks that still live in these things that have never been saved. And you see, these are all works of the flesh. And some of these, even people have doctrine that this is their religion, such as witchcraft and so on and so forth. But know this, that may be their religion, but it is a religion of flesh and of works. You'll come no other way than by Jesus Christ. That's the works of the flesh. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And we ought not to be jealous one of another. We ought not to be provoking one another. And we should not be trying to lift up ourselves and get our own agendas through. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, tonight we thank You for allowing us to read a portion of Your Word. Pray, God, You'd speak to hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, as we try to stand. I pray, God, You just inspire us of the Holy Spirit tonight and empower us. Lord, we ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Again, it is good to see you. I feel like the Lord would have us begin a study probably through the summertime. I was really wanting to study through the book of Ezra as they were building the Lord's house. And I wanted to study in Jeremiah some there, tell you the truth. And God, for some time now, He's been pressing on my heart. But especially since Sunday, I want you to study the fruit of the Spirit. It did not say fruits, plural, but the fruit of the Spirit. And it all stems off the very first one, love. I want us tonight to study the fruit of the Spirit. We'll call this the Fruit of the Spirit series. And the first one is love. Now, love is willing, sacrificial giving. That's what it is. That you might sacrifice of yourself with no thought whatsoever of any return or any advancement on your part. It is just you giving yourself and giving up, giving someone else the platform and you stepping out of the way. That's what love is. And I want to study just a little bit about love. Why it is love is the first thing mentioned here. I want to say, number one, I believe love is first mentioned because it is preeminent. What do you mean, preacher? Well, does the Bible not tell us over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Let's read a few verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, speaking of the preeminence of love, how that everything stems from love. All this other fruit all stems from love. 1 Corinthians 13, I know you're familiar with this chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which that represents love, have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal. In other words, if I want to get up here and speak and do all this stuff, but I don't have love in my heart, I'm wasting my time. You can have so many doctor's degrees hanging around your neck. You can be Dr. Sounding Brass and Reverend Tinkling Cymbal all you want to. But if you ain't got love in your heart, it's no good. And I don't care what Sunday school class you teach. I don't care what vacation Bible school class you're going to be working in. I don't care what job you occupy. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how poor you may be. I want to say this to you. If you don't have love in your heart, you don't have anything. For my Bible says, God is love. And if you're saved, God lives on the inside through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can look at this chapter again and say, and change the word charity to the word love, or change it to God. God is love. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not God, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Look at verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Says, you know, if I could come up with a cure for cancer, how great that would be. But if I don't have love, I don't have anything. I don't care what you may be or what you may accomplish in this life. If you don't have God, if you don't have love, you've got nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Saying right there, if you give your body to be burned, if you sacrifice yourself for somebody else, and what appears to be love, if you don't have God, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, it profits you nothing. Charity, this is love now, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Boy, when you get an envy problem, that's not love. Yeah, man. You start getting jealous of what's going on in somebody else's life. Do you realize that God is blessing that person? And everything they have, God has given to them. And if you stand jealous of what's going on in their life, you're not jealous of them. You're upset with God who's blessed them. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. It don't say, look at me. Look at me. I'm here. Service can begin. You shook my hand tonight. How blessed you are. That's not what love is. Love takes a back seat. I know people come through, amen, stick out their tail feathers, come through here, I'm telling you, like they're God's gift to the church. Let me tell you, God's gift to the church is Jesus and no other. Preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about that old fleshly spirit that we've got. That's what I'm talking about. It doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Have you thought wrong this week? Can I get a witness? You had a wrong thought this week? That wasn't love. That was a flash. Love don't think those thoughts. Love don't lay in the bed at night worrying about what somebody's done to you, thinking about how can I get them tomorrow? look at me like that, you know good well you lay in the bed at night thinking about what they said and what they did and what you're going to do to make a comeback to them about it. Love don't do that. Just drop it and turn to love. Amen. Again in verse 6, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Amen. It rejoices not in lies. If the town gossip and the rumor mill's going on, it don't rejoice in that, boy, we've got them now. We got them on the run. We've told a fib on them, and man, we're running them down, and we're going to spread it like wildfire. Love don't rejoice in that. But the flesh does. Love don't. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Again, you could put God in there. God is love. God never fails. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus never fails. You try Jesus in any situation, He won't fail you, friend. He never fails. But whether there be prophecies, I'm telling you, I could get up here and be a prophet and tell you what's going to happen tomorrow and tell you that somebody's going to go home. Tommy's going to go home, put popcorn in the microwave, and in a minute it's going to pop every kernel but three. And Tommy goes home, puts the popcorn in there, pop, 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 and he takes it out and empties out the bag, and he says, Leela, you're the preacher. Man, he's got a gift. I got three kernels left over. If I could tell you tomorrow what's going to happen on the highway, you'd stay off of it. But all these prophecies and stuff are going to fail. But love, God, Jesus, never fails. Hallelujah to God. The doctors will fail. The bank will fail. The stock market will fail. But Jesus will never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then they which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. All this junk going on. People talking about this and running that down, worrying, fretting. Hey, don't run around like little youngins and he said and she said. You know what it was when you was back in school? You know what they said about you? Ooh, let me tell you, this is what is going on. Let me straighten it out. You know good and well, it's like, let me pass you a note. I can't wait to tell you. Hey, grow up, bless God. You're 60 years old, 55, 40. Grow up, don't act like a youngin' no more. I'm telling you what, you keep acting like that, I'm going to tell a school bus stop at your house, pick you up, bless God, and run you down to their schoolhouse so you'll have something to do all day rather than wasting your time worrying about what everybody else is going to do. I'm telling you what, I didn't, preacher, you're not preaching with love. I'm telling you the truth in love because it needs to stop all these works of the flesh. Yeah, man. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. Boy, they're great, ain't they? Faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. What's the greatest? Charity. Love. What's the greatest? God. What's the greatest? Jesus. Nothing else matters but them. We said, why in Galatians 5:22 is love mentioned first? Because it is the greatest of all. It is the preeminent. That means first place. That's why love's mentioned first. Now let's look at our second point. I believe it mentions, love is mentioned here because of perfection. Again, 1 John 4:16, God is love. Hey, He's perfect. What do you mean, preacher? He's perfect. You know what? He loves everybody. Now, bless God, you could stand up tonight, and you could say, I love everybody. But if you ain't real careful, you'll go home after confessing that great, great human attribute, human characteristic of how much you love people, and you'll go home and you'll start running so and so down. You know, the preacher sung up there with his wife, and boy, she outsung him, didn't she? He can't sing a lick. I don't know why he even wastes his time. Then he kept us till 8:15 tonight. 8:30. 9 o'clock. 9:15. 11. All right. And then you say how you love everybody. When you're talking like that, well, dude, wouldn't you want me to hear what you're saying? If you don't want everybody, well, let me tell you a secret, honey. If you don't want everybody to hear, it ain't got love in it. Amen? God loves everybody. Without exception. He loves the drunk on the bar stool tonight. He loves the very one that threatens your home. Tonight they may be casing your house or your place of business to rob you blind. And you don't love a person like that. Tell me the truth. You love a person that's going to rob you blind? But God loves them. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Preacher, I know God's love. You waste your time preaching this to me. I'm telling you what, I need to preach it to make you a little sweeter. You need to get this in your head. Don't be that old bitter, sawed-off thing, briar-eating thing that you are. Snapping everybody's head off. Try a little love for a change. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want to tell you, God loves everybody. Loves everybody the same. He loves perfectly. I don't love perfectly. I'm not preaching to you that I do. I'm preaching to myself. I know I don't love perfectly. I really need to work on that. Deuteronomy 7:7. Are you with me? Please turn your Bible to that place. Preacher, I didn't bring my Bible. Bring it next time. I ain't coming back. Because you wouldn't bring a Bible? No, because you said that. I love you. The Lord, verse number 7, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of a mighty hand and brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Let me say this to you tonight. You may say, God chose me because I'm so special. I have so many things to offer. I can speak eloquently. I can sing like a canary. You just don't know that everything I touch seems to prosper and turn to gold, and God really needs me. That's why He chose me. Let me tell you something, bless God. I want to bust your bubble tonight. God loves you because He chose to. He don't love you because you're the biggest or the strongest, because you're the prettiest, because you have the most money, or because you're the poorest. No. He loves you because He chose to love you. Why? Because He's God, and God is love, and He loves us all the same. He does not love you or me because I deserve it or you deserve it. No. He don't love you more than He loves somebody else. He don't love me more than He loves you. He don't love you more than He loves a person on this side of the church or this side of the church more. He loves everybody the same. I don't love like that. Some of y'all in the back agree with me? We don't love equally. We try to. Boy, we try to. We mean well. But God loves without exception. And He loves just because He chose to. I'm glad His love ain't based on merit. I don't deserve it, right? Yet He loves us. Yet He loves me, loves you, loves us all. 1 John. Oh, that's a great love book. 1 John chapter 4. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a little news tonight. He don't love you because you love Him. No. He loved you before you ever loved Him. He loved you before you were ever born. He loved you even though you were a sinner. He loved you. Oh, preacher, I think He loves me just because I've chose to serve Him and because I'm at church. 1 John, I got verses for you. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. You see, what made us respond to Him was His love. He loves perfectly. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. Nobody. And you know why? You know why? When He loves me like that, you know how I respond to it? At first I rejected Him. But His love was so strong, He came back again. And I didn't deserve that. He didn't owe that to me. But His mercy, He came back. Showed His love to me. And I'm thankful tonight because He first loved me. That's why I chose to love Him. God is love. Amen. And He loves perfectly. I want this last point for tonight. I've got 9 points. And I've preached 2. I want to try to get through number 3. Now there, number 3. His love has a purpose. There's many reasons He loves. There are many reasons. But mainly it's for salvation. Are you with me? John 3:16. We quote it, but let's go there. Tie something to it. This is important that you get this part. This is very important. Because some people believe what I'm getting ready to tell you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. My Bible says loved. Loved, my English teacher taught me, was a past tense action of the verb to love. Loved. Does that mean you don't love anymore? No. It's just saying that way back yonder, before creation was ever made, He loved, knowing He was going to make the world, knowing He was going to create the world, and you would be living in it. He loved you so much that in time past, in eternity, He had already given His Son way before His Son ever went up the cross. In His mind, in His thought process, He had already given it. He loved the world. Loved, past tense. Not that He doesn't love anymore, but that He loved you way back there enough to set up a plan for your life. Amen. And He gave His only begotten Son. That's love, ain't it? Amen. Let me tell you what, y'all. I wouldn't give my boy or my girl for either one of you. Amen. And I'm just being honest with you and before God. Amen. I could not do that. Isaac somehow was willing to. I don't think I've got that kind of love. Preacher, it's not love, it's trust. No. I just don't love like God does. But He was willing to turn His back on His own Son and loved us so much that He would do that. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm almost done. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5. The B part of this verse. Because the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us when we were still in our sins. He loved us and gave His Son. that we might be saved. Now, bless His holy name for that. Christ died for you. But here I'm going to tell you, love, as great as it is, alone cannot save you. You're looking at me funny. I'm glad you are. I've set you up. If it were true you could be saved by love alone, then everybody's saved. Because God loves everybody. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. No, wait. If you think you're going to go to heaven because He loves you more, you are wrong. These people believe that. Well, He chose me to love me, loves me more. That's why I'm going. He loves somebody else less. That's a lie from the devil's hell. It ain't true. He loves us all the same. I just preached that. You said amen. How we can spin this tape back, Brother John, and let them say, and hear them say amen. I just said that. He loves us all the same. You're not saved by love alone. Did He not love the whole world when He went to that cross? Did He not shed His blood that everybody could be saved? But is everybody saved? See, you're not saved by love alone. Are you getting that? I know that's deep, but it shouldn't be. Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to leave it for the evening. Ephesians chapter 2. You see that Holy Ghost, the love of God was shed abroad by our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He's the one came. And the first thing He did was He showed me the love of God, how much God loved me through Jesus Christ dying on a cross and being raised again on the third day. He showed me that. But immediately when He showed me that, He convicted me of my sins. It wasn't a lovey-dovey salvation. Oh, no. Some of these fellas won't preach blood to you. I'm telling you, it's by the blood. And He came and convicted my soul and said, you, boy, are a sinner on your way to hell. And you know what? I was. And I still am a sinner. But I've been saved by the grace of God. I said something right there. Not saved by the love of God, but I'm saved by the grace of God. You have to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. See, a minute ago we had, but God commendeth His love towards us. Now watch this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. See, when we were yet in our sins, He's loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace, did not say for by love, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. When we said something about works a minute ago. Works. All those works. You're on the law with works. You're going to hell with works. I do you witchcraft and all this other stuff. But you're going to hell with works. Hey, there's two boys. One named Cain, one named Abel. One came with the fruit of the ground there, showing his hard work and his efforts. The other came by the blood of a little lamb. The one brother, Abel, was accepted, and Cain was rejected. Why? Because he came by works. You'll never be accepted by works. You've been saved because He loves you, and because by His grace, He sent the Holy Ghost to speak to your heart and give you a measure of faith. And somehow you bowed and believed Him. Hey, you didn't understand it. You couldn't even explain it. I know how the love of God sent His Son to that cross. I could do my dead level best, but in my mind it'd blow my mind. I preach it, but I don't even understand it. Woo, but I believe it with all my heart tonight. Preacher, what are you saying? In His purpose, salvation, love and love alone never save you. You've got to come by faith. When He extends grace and deals with your heart. Are you with me? Let me say this to you. He loves us all the same. But He didn't owe you or me anything. He still don't. But boy, he's been good. Shoo, he's been good by expressing and showing his love to me. Man, he's blessed me beyond measure, more than I'd ever deserved. He's been good to us tonight, y'all. And you know what, every blessing of God, you know what he shows you? His love. And that you deserve wrath. You deserve judgment. But in his love, he's rich with mercy and goodness and grace to you. I got to stop right there. You stand with me tonight. You won't get saved when you want to. No, no. You get saved when he's drawing. You know how he draws? By love. Go home, look up Jeremiah 31:3. I've drawn you in love. That's how he drew me that night. That was my fourth point. Hey, that's the plea. He's drawn us with love. Always been better to us than we deserve. Amen. Lord, tonight we thank you for allowing us to meet together in prayer meeting tonight. Just to think for a few minutes and ponder, muse over the fact of the love of God. And Lord, I realize it's fruit of the Spirit. We're trying to preach and we're trying to go somewhere. But God, we can't just get past this hurdle of the love of God. Lord, I don't never want to clear it. I'm glad I can't. Hallelujah. Love of God I'll never get over, never get around or under. Your love is everywhere. Now, thank you, God, for your wonderful love. Pray, God, you'd go with us tonight. Pray somebody might have been discouraged tonight to go home and say, you know what? If everything else goes wrong, God still loves me. Bless his name. Lord, we ask you to touch all these prayer requests. Bless this people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.